your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Welcome to our listeners. It's hard to say good morning or an afternoon because this program is heard coast to coast. That's the nature of Internet radio. I have with me today a special guest, Dr. Benson Sheinkin. He's an authority and an experienced person in temporomandibular joint complications. Now, we'll explain to you what that is and some of the problems that arise from temporomandibular joint displacement. They are serious, and sometimes people have chronic illnesses, and they've tried just about everything when the problem lies in that joint, a little joint in front of the ear. Benson, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Ruth.
Let me say Dr. Benson. I know you and I have known each other for 25 years or so, so I'm used to, we're used to a first name relationship. But this is a very serious problem, and we run into it quite frequently with cancer patients, that until they attend to that joint, they're running into difficulty in making a final repair.
Well, the temporomandibular joint, or TMJ, you know, the initials that are used to describe it, is really a silent illness, and it affects probably about 65% of the population. And it plays an important part in the overall health and well-being of the patient. Let me describe the joint. It is the joint that is located between the lower jaw and the skull, the temporal part of the skull, the bone just above the ear. And this is a different type of joint. Even though it's a ball and socket joint like the elbow or the shoulder, it moves in many directions, not just back and forth. It moves side to side. It moves forward and back and down and out.
Sort of around.
Yes.
It goes all around.
All around.
I see.
And it dislocates itself, too, when you bite. It comes way out of the socket when you bite. And there's a pad that travels along with the lower jaw, with the bone on the top of the ball to prevent one bone from rubbing against the other. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. You have to understand that the head sits on top of the spine like a ball on top of a flagpole.
Yes, yes. So it affects the spinal column where the nerves are.
Right. The head is stabilized by an intricate system of muscles and tendons. And when one part of the system is out of alignment, it can usually affect other parts of the system and body. And you have to understand that the muscles that support the jaw overlap and cross over in front and behind these bones, where some of the major blood vessels and nerves that go to the head coming in and out of the skull travel. So any undue pressure on these muscles can put undue pressure on the nerves and blood vessels, will interfere with the function and flow of impulses to and from the brain. And sometimes the stresses on these nerves and blood vessels cause problems in far-reaching parts of the body.
See, that's what's little understood. They seem to think that it's just a jaw problem, which it isn't. It complicates the whole system. Let me add something that I've come across here, that we find it may cut off the circulation into the head area because it's leaning against probably an arterial flow.
Well, you have the carotid artery, the jugular vein, and these blood vessels travel in between the muscles. So any inflammation of these muscles will put pressure on the blood flow and decrease the blood flow to the brain.
And you know what we're running into? We understood a long time ago that there was hearing loss very often when that jaw was out of position. But we also find that because it's cutting off nourishment into the head area, that it's also affecting memory and sight.
It has. I mean, if you want to go through some of the problems that are associated with the TMJ, the most common ones, if you're looking, you're going to have headaches, pain in the forehead, temples, you're going to have sinus problems, you can have pain in the scalp.
That's what takes place in the head area.
Right.
But I think the deficiency, for instance, we had a board member who suffered from macular degeneration. Well, what is degeneration? That the macula is degenerating because it's not getting its nourishment. And with I think you took care of him and corrected that mandible. And in about weeks, I think it was, his sight was started to return.
Well, you could also have pain behind the eyes, the bloodshot eyes. The eyes may bulge out. You could have sensitivity to light. There are a lot of problems that happen.
So many problems. But I think these are much more serious when you're losing your sight or losing your memory.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean,
and these things that can be corrected once that joint is sitting, or what I say is aligned again.
Yeah, but you see what you were talking about before also, because the head sits on top of the spinal column, if the joint is out of place and the muscles are pulling improperly, it also affects the spine. So you can have curvature of the spine, which in turn will compress the nerves and blood vessels that enter and leave that side of the spine, which is being compressed.
All right, people have to understand what it means when you're compressing the nerves along the spine. All of the signals from the brain go through that area to tell other areas of the body how to function. In other words, there's an area that will control the thyroid, the pancreas, the adrenals. Do you see what I'm saying? All of those signals come out of the nerve ends that are along the spinal column.
Well, you know, you can compare it to when you cross your legs and your foot falls asleep.
Yes.
It's not
but
the problem with the foot.
The nerve system, of course, not sending out signals, I think, is worse than cutting off the little circulation.
No, it's not about, what I was saying is that you're also pressing on the nerves on which causes the foot to fall asleep. But if you if you just cross your legs slightly, you can get some tingling in your foot. And I believe that what happens here is when the spine is compressed on one side, the signals are still traveling through the nerves, but they're not the full signal that should be traveling
That's
through the nerve.
That's what it is. You're not getting the full signal.
So, I mean, if you do, say, a liver function test, it may show the liver is functioning at 70%, but in reality, it's functioning at 100% because only 70% of the message is getting through.
Yes, the liver would be all right, but the message isn't getting there.
Exactly.
This can be so complicated and yes, easily understood if people would, if doctors actually, and all dentists, you know, you're a dentist who's into this, but there aren't all the dentists, they'll talk about the TMJ, but don't understand how sensitive it is.
It's a very complex situation to correct it. And it requires a lot of time and skill and patience, both on the part of the doctor and the part of the patient.
Patient. It has to be carefully calibrated, isn't that what it is?
It has to be very carefully calibrated in three dimensions. You have not just the up and down relationship, you have the side to side and angle. So you have three dimensions that you're dealing with. And the jaw joint is also, unlike other joints, it's two working as one. You have the right and left side both mm-hmm. working at one time. So if there is an imbalance in one side, it affects the other side as well.
Yes.
And a lot of times the side that has the problem, or where you feel the problem is originating from, isn't the true side which is causing the problem. Again, I'll give you an example of a door with two hinges. If the top hinge is broken, all the stress is on the bottom hinge. But the problem is really coming from the top hinge. So again, if you have a real problem on the right side, the left side is carrying a lot more weight than it should be, and you may be feeling a lot more symptoms on the left side, even though the true problem is originating on the right side.
Is there any way a patient can tell whether the problem, actually it shouldn't be the problem of the patient, it should be the problem of the medical community and the dental community to be able to tell if that joint is out of place. What we need of the patient is for them to have some understanding when the doctor or dentist talks to them about it.
Well, the dentist should also be examining the total chewing mechanism, not just looking at the teeth.
Well, yes. Now, isn't it a fact that that joint can be displaced easily if there's dental work done and the occlusion is no longer in its normal position?
Definitely. The way the teeth meet are very important to the way the joint is going to function. And the position of the lower jaw in the condyle, in the fossa, where it meets with the skull.
And if a tooth is lost, can it sometimes also cause a displacement?
Definitely. Loss of teeth. There's a whole bunch of things that can cause displacement. Because even the natural wear and tear on the teeth when they're worn down, as the teeth wear down, they come closer and closer together, which in turn is putting pressure on the joint and moving it into a less advantageous position.
Yeah. I had a call from a young woman in England who had some minor dental work done, and it was supposed to be routine work. But what happened after that, every time she tried to open her mouth even to eat, it became very painful.
Well, if you ever get a piece of food stuck between two teeth, it feels very uncomfortable, feels very large, and when you remove it, it's very small. So even small, minor discrepancies in the bite can cause some serious problems.
Well, this was dental work that was done, and this is our signal, Benson, that we're at the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
And the commercials will come on. Let me just say to the audience, we'll be back. Just stay with us and be patient. You're going to learn a great deal that, actually it will be information that's new to many people, but that they should have. All right, we'll be back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with the vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, Dr. Shankin, we're back on the air again. And in case people have just turned in, let's tell them that you have specialized in all dentistry, but you have special experience in temporomandibular joint work, which is not simple. It's a complicated process to get that joint back in place and to calibrate it very carefully. And we talked about the damage that it can do and how people are suffering with health problems, chronic health problems, and not relating it to that joint being out of place. Because it affects the spinal column and the head area, it can affect so many things. I was reading a little situation about W.B. May, who really wrote a great deal. Do you know whom I'm talking about?
Sure, Dr. May.
Sure. He was the first one who enlightened us, actually, to the problem of the temporomandibular joint. And he writes there about somebody who had difficulty walking, and when they corrected the temporomandibular joint, it corrected his ability to walk. It may have taken a few weeks before the repair took place completely after the joint was put back in place, but this is the miraculous things that dealing with that joint can do.
Well, the first things that you see happen when you start treating the patient with an appliance is that you notice that the hips align and the legs align where they were slightly out of kilter, one being higher than the other. That'll disappear almost immediately.
Oh, my. And hardly ever recognized. Dentists don't even recognize that they treat teeth sometimes. I've had patients call where a dentist left a tooth too high, and it was so obvious every time she came down she could feel it. And that should never be allowed to happen.
Well, there are a lot of things that shouldn't be allowed to happen that continue to happen. A lot of this is because certain aspects of TMJ are not taught in school.
Not even in dental school.
No, it's not really addressed properly. To fully understand it and to fully balance the patient takes months, and they don't have the time to devote to that in school. So this aspect of the treatment really isn't taught, and you have to learn it on your own, and that becomes a difficult process because it takes time and a lot of experience to learn the little nuances that are necessary to fully correct the problem.
Well, at least they could avoid the problem. They can be taught that.
Well, when I went to school, when people had problems with the bite, we were taught to grind the teeth down. And grinding the teeth down, now we realize, creates more of a problem with the joint than there was before. and causes problems that we weren't aware of. Because, again, the problems with the joint are far-reaching. They affect many other body systems, and it's incredible what is related to the problems with the joint.
Well, this is, then it really should be essential for the dental schools to see that they don't cause the problem, because it can be caused there. Sometimes it happens because someone has fallen and hit their jaw and moved it out of place. It can be an accident that can do that. But many times it's caused just by the dentist not seeing that there's competent occlusal.
Well, there's more to it than that, too, because, see, theoretically, the jaws have a relationship one to the other, an ideal space between the upper and lower jaws. And like I was saying, over time, the teeth wear down. And
all right, that's not the dentist's fault.
No, but if you've lost teeth and now they're going to restore it, they restore it to the bite that exists today without taking into account that maybe they should be going back to that ideal position and working to establish that ideal position in the patient's mouth. But that's a concept that, like I say, wasn't taught and isn't taught in school. Because the full impact of the TMJ isn't widely recognized. Even though today I find more and more people, physicians who have chronic problems that they can't solve, they refer them and say, it's probably a TMJ problem. Where years ago, when I started getting involved with TMJ, I was looked at as a crackpot. Today, now they look at me to solve problems that they can't solve.
Well, I think I'm delighted to hear that they will at least refer patients to a dentist, but sometimes they don't even recognize a TMJ problem. Maybe it's being recognized more today, but it is not widespread enough. There's a big population out there that needs this kind of help.
Yeah, but it's also a problem from the point that a physician has a little bit of a problem referring a patient to a dentist.
You mean it's an ego problem.
Well, definitely. You know, if you go to a physician and he says, well, I can't treat your problem, I'm not sure what's causing it, let me send you to a dentist, that doesn't sound very...
Well, actually, it would raise his stature, and
it
they
would.
Don't realize that. The more you help a patient resolve a problem, it raises the person's stature, doesn't diminish it. Oh, we're all struggling with emotional problems, I guess. We don't know when we're handicapped with them, so we'll have to be somewhat sympathetic.
All right, but when you talk about emotional problems, that's another thing that you have to take into account, because stress is a major contributing factor to TMJ dysfunction.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of times when we're stressed, we'll grind our teeth, clench our teeth. And this is putting undue stress on the joints.
Yes.
And there's so many different stresses that we're exposed to in everyday life. I mean, and these stresses are cumulative. And up to a point, the body can handle those stresses. And even to a certain point, stresses are good. But after a certain point, that cumulative effect starts having a deleterious effect on the body. And we don't always associate these stresses with what's going on with the overall health.
Yeah, well, we know what stress does to the patient, but when it's tied into the temporomandibular joint, this is my concern. I don't think there's enough awareness of it. I have a patient up in Connecticut whose dentist is now doing temporomandibular joint work for her, and it took a long time before there was any recognition, even on my part, dealing with her for years, that when she'd say she'd black out, or she'd get up and she would gasp for air, you know, and this was troubling her emotionally. It was troubling her. She thought possibly she was losing her ability to heal. I think we'll pick up at that, and I'd like to tell you about that if we're going off the air soon.
Okay.
For evidently not.
All right.
I don't... All right. I think that was a clue that I picked up that wasn't really there. All right. What happened there was she was struggling for a long time, and not only was under stress because of the struggle, but emotionally she began to worry about her health because she's a recovered cancer patient, actually with over 30 years behind her. But since she had gone through that ordeal and she was quite sick, you can imagine how the complications she was going through imposed worry upon her thinking. She thought possibly the cancer was coming back or some other thing was going on. Well, finally, it was a guess on my part, and I said, go to the dentist and see what he says about your jaw joint. And sure enough, it turned out that she did need attention. She had lost some of her lower teeth and hadn't taken the time to have them replaced, and that's what caused the problem.
See, that's what I was saying, too. When you're going to have the teeth replaced in that situation, we were taught in school, you just put the teeth into whatever the bite is at that time, and that's wrong. You have the opportunity then to reestablish the ideal relationship between the jaws and have the muscles at their ideal working length.
Yeah,
so it requires a little more time and effort on the part of the dentist to find that relationship and then construct the appliances to or the prosthetic work to fit that relationship.
There's no mechanical thing on the market that has been designed to help a dentist to know whether that jaw joint is in place and how to get it back in place. You know, nearly everything can be designed in order to help some situation, but I don't think anyone bothered in this area.
There is some appliances. I don't put much faith in them because you have to have an understanding of not just the x-ray and look at that. You have to take the whole patient into account and figure out, again, the proper and ideal working length of the muscles. There are some devices that will show you what they believe to be the correct placement of the ball and socket relationship. But that isn't necessarily correct for that patient. Every patient
right,
is different.
But even if you see where it's supposed to be, getting there might be time-consuming.
That's the, one of the more difficult things because that requires a lot of patience as far as making minor adjustments. You're taking muscles that have over a period of years contracted, and now you're stretching them back to their original length, and that can't be done all at once. It requires minor adjustments to lengthen the muscles, and once you have them lengthened again, to position the jaw in the three dimensions that are necessary to give you that ideal relationship.
Is it possible, too, that when that joint is out of position, it may not occlude? We'll talk about it when we get back,
okay.
But I want to ask that question of whether there's any erosion in the area that might not allow you to go back into place again. All right, we'll be back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with the vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're back on the air.
Yeah, you were going to ask me a question. I'm sorry, we didn't get a chance to...
All right, I'm going to ask the question, but we also spoke about something on the air, about an experience you had with...
Off the air, we were speaking.
Off the air, about an experience you had with a patient with hearing loss. Don't let me forget to talk about that. But I was asking whether the joint being out of position for an overly long period of time, and it's bone against bone to some extent, would there be any erosion there that cannot be corrected?
Yes.
That's possible, isn't it?
I mean, the body is genetically coded to heal itself, and when you put these appliances in the mouth, the purpose of that is to allow the body to heal itself. And there is a limit when you have enough damage that you're not going to get back to that perfect healing. So in some situations, the patient will need orthodontic treatment to realign the teeth to hold the jaw at the proper relationship. You may need to cap the teeth or do other prosthetic treatment, again, to hold the teeth of this relationship, and sometimes they have to wear the appliance on and off for the rest of their lives. It all depends on the situation. There are ways of correcting the problem once you have everything in the proper relationship, and it's more rare than not that the body will be able to heal itself to the point that it will hold the relationship on its own.
The body has a tendency to try to repair if it's able in any way whatsoever.
Definitely.
We had a patient who had cancer of the spine, and that's bone too, and it repaired, and he lived for 27 years from the time of diagnosis and did not die of cancer. So the body will try to repair if it's at all possible. Now, I don't want to forget about the man who had a hearing loss and what happened. I thought that was funny.
That was
sad and funny.
It was a long time ago. It was probably 25, 30 years ago. Ruth had referred this patient to me who had an 80% hearing loss. And by treating the TMJ, which is easy to understand because if you feel with your hand where that joint is in relation to the ear, you can see how if that joint is pushed backwards, it will be pressing on some of the nerves that go to the ear and can affect the hearing. And again, the way I was talking, if you cross your legs, you're putting pressure on those nerves. When you release that pressure, you're not going to get necessarily 100% recovery, because it's been compressed for so much time that there's damage that's not going to be able to be reversed. But anyway, this patient, we went from an 80% hearing loss to back to 80% hearing gain, and his physician threatened to bring me up on charges because I was treating a hearing problem as a dentist, and I was practicing out of my field. Today, I get referred patients from doctors for hearing problems.
How things change, but it's taken about 20 years for it to change. Let me tell the audience a little bit more about that particular patient. He came out of his home one day to put out the garbage pail or some garbage at the curb. And at the same time, his neighbor came out to do the same thing. And they had a conversation there for a while. And when they finished, he realized he was there without his hearing aid.
Ah.
I thought that he called me to tell me that he was so excited. And that, see, these are the marvelous things. They seem like miracles, but they're just based on knowledge.
I tell my patients that I'm not curing them. All I'm doing is allowing their body to heal itself.
That's right. That's exactly what goes on in the cancer area too. You know, if we help patients restore the ability on the part of the body to heal and to produce healthy cells, all that's happening to the cancer is that the body is taking care of the problem. There are so many things. I think even in the book that I've written, I can't remember, it's called Rethinking Cancer. I don't know if I told you about it. But we take up all of these areas, including TMJ, because it can't be left out.
Well, it's very important in the overall health of a person. Because, again, the imbalance has far-reaching effects. Just reiterating, once you compress the spine and compressing nerves and blood supply to other parts of the body, there's no telling what chronic, and usually it's chronic, illnesses and problems that have not been able to be solved are really related to this situation.
You know, to help a cancer patient, we have to correct every and any malfunction. If the thyroid isn't working up to par, it has to be corrected. The liver must, because the liver does most of the work. And therefore, you can't neglect the problem of the TMJ if that is a problem.
Research now has shown that 50% of the body's energy is used to overcome and fight the tension in the muscles of the jaw.
Oh, my.
50% of the body's energy. So when you're talking about getting someone to heal, if you can release that 50% to allow the body to function a lot better, you're going to get a lot better healing overall.
Overall, yeah. There are some interesting stories out there. I don't know if you've come across them, but Dr. May did write some of them up, of how long it took for problems that patients had suffered with for as long as 7 years, 6 years, and so on. As I said, one of them was about the patient's inability to walk. And in about 3 months, he was able to correct that by correcting the TMJ, and no one ever thought of it before. See, this is what disturbs me, is how that there's not enough known.
He also corrected some mental problems.
Oh, yes, that could tie in, too. But as again, I'm saying that what has disturbed me, and I'm so glad you've been willing to come on the air here and talk about this, is how little is known about the problems that exist with the TMJ. It's about the last thing anyone would think of. And it's understandable because it doesn't stand out. A tumor stands out, you know, or if a tumor is interfering with the ability to eat or something, you're going to do something about it. But because that's so hidden...
Well, you want to expect that you have numbness in the fingers that will be coming from your jaw joint.
It can, but not many people understand that link.
That's what I'm saying, that there are some far-reaching effects that it's very hard for the average person to associate one with the other.
That's right. It's that association that isn't there, the lack of knowledge, or the idea that routinely... You see, these days some doctors are saying that you have to routinely, if you're doing a medical workup for the patient, that you should include thyroid function, which they don't do automatically. Now, some people are beginning to recognize that you have to bring that component into the picture. Now, what I'd like to see is that the TMJ is routinely investigated to see that it's in place or out of place, so that can be corrected as well.
All right, you have to understand, when you talk about the TMJ, I would say probably 90% of the people in general have some type of TMJ imbalance. That does not mean that they need to be treated. The same way most people's legs aren't the same length, they don't need corrective shoes. So you have to be able to differentiate which patients need to be treated and which patients don't need to be treated. And that's a problem, again, that you have to have the experience and the proper training to be able to differentiate.
All right. Wouldn't it be wise, though, that if there's a problem that doesn't... correct itself after a long period of time, and you've tried many things to that seem related, that there should be an investigation of the TMJ, temporomandibular joint?
Definitely. But you also have to go back to the fact when you talk to your physician and he looks at you like you're crazy.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. And so it's not just teaching dentists. You have to get the whole medical field to become aware of these problems and the interrelationship.
Well, my feeling is they should be aware that there's an absolute need for it.
You know, you have to teach dentists how to evaluate and diagnose this problem to determine which patients should be treated and which patients don't need to be treated.
Well, it would have to start in the dental schools and the medical schools, and I would assume it would have to start in the medical schools for the dental schools for the medical schools to pick it up. We're at the end of our third quarter, Benson.
Okay.
And let our audience know that we'll be back. Let me give them a number if they want to call in, which is rare. Hold on a minute.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we're back on the air. And this is the end of our quarter. Let me give you that number again, just in case. Most people we find don't make call-ins. They listen to archives or something else. And that's all right, too. But the call-in number is 866-472-5792. Okay, I think that's clear enough, don't you?
Yes.
All right. You know, sometimes when I'm working with a cancer patient, I have to recognize when problems aren't solving that I expect to resolve, that I have to then suggest that they investigate the TMJ. Now, I know that you're charging a fee that is reasonable for this work, although this work is not cheap because it requires a lot of time. But I've had an incident in Florida where the patient went to the dentist there, and he said the charge would be $10,000 even before he started to work or to see how bad the situation was or how much time. I thought that was a little excessive.
I think so. I think 1,500.
Don't you think it was a lot excessive?
I think 1,500 would be more reasonable.
All right. Or if it took more time, and for $1,500 to be able to correct the long-standing problem is a very reasonable price. Benson, I don't think we described to them the fact that you use a splint.
Yeah.
And what that is.
Okay,
and that's an essential part of this, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad
I remembered.
Good for you. I use an acrylic splint. It's made out of the same material that dentures are made out of, so it's a perfectly safe material. I use one that's clear so it's less evident when the patient talks. And initially what we do is we set this on the lower jaw with two balance points. The balance point is determined halfway from the front to the back of the jaw so the jaw can pivot. And as it pivots, it begins to stretch the muscles. And we keep adjusting by adding or subtracting acrylic from each side till we get the muscles to the right working length. Once we establish that length, then we can move the jaw side to side, and we can move it up and down, one side up and one side down. That's what's all about the three dimensions, till you have the jaw in its proper axis, the proper relationship. And these require some really delicate adjustments, and it's done over a period of months. Then, once you've made all these precise adjustments, then initially the patient wears this as much as possible, sleeping with it, not while they eat. And then what I like to do is after I have the relationship where I think it's proper, is I convert the appliance so that they can eat with it too, because when you eat and your jaws are coming together, you're destroying all the work that we established. And once we have the patient in that position that they're comfortable, and it remains that way for a period of time, usually I like to wait a couple of months, then we look at how we can finalize this so the patient can live without the splint. And like I said, sometimes it requires orthodontic treatment to move the teeth, to raise the teeth. Sometimes you need to cap some of the teeth. And sometimes the patient can dysfunction with the splint. So
I remember this. You know, I remember the board member who had that work done, and you did it for him, that since he had, artificial teeth in the bottom area, that you were able to add that amount to the teeth. Is that possible that I remember that?
Yes, that is correct.
So that it was there all the time, he could eat with it, it was just as though it was his own teeth.
Right. That's one thing about Dr. May, which is different from treating patients in New York City. Dr. May's technique was to extract all the teeth and make them dentures. He was able to reestablish the relationship real easy. And when I discussed that with him, he said, that's why I'm practicing in New Mexico, because I can get away with that. So he was able to finalize his cases a lot quicker and a lot easier than I can.
Because you're preserving
teeth. No, I don't extract all the teeth and make dentures.
Yeah. Oh, so you're working with the patient's original dentures or the original teeth.
Right.
Yeah, which seems to be a very comfortable way to do it for the patient. That's amazing. And so all of the calibration is actually done to that splint.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I think I had you made a splint for me years ago, and I may have worn it at night and then discontinued wearing it and had no trouble.
That's what I say. Sometimes that's sufficient. Once you establish the relationship, sometimes the body just corrects itself and there's no need for the splint anymore.
Yeah, and that was a long time ago, Benson. I say 25 years. I think it was longer than that. It was early in the time of the inception of our organization, and we've been here for 35 years.
That's about how long I know you, is about 35 years.
Wow. A lot has happened since that time, but it's been very positive. And I've seen what you've done with patients and how it has benefited them. Unfortunately, not all of them respond or go in for the temporomandibular work, unfortunately, but they should. It makes an enormous difference in your health.
Well, you know, the results depend on many factors, as the motivation of the patient, the age, nutrition, their oral hygiene, their emotional health and stability, and any medical problems. So, I mean, it's not a panacea, it's not a cure-all, and you need patient cooperation.
I know, but when that is the problem, and that's corrected, it really makes a tremendous difference in the patient's life. It makes the difference between repair or struggling with a problem as a chronic problem.
I ask my patients.
I've seen that happen.
Oh, I've seen it happen, too.
Well, of course you should, but in my position, it's not that likely, but I have seen it happen.
A lot of times, I suspect what changes are going to take place, but I won't inform the patient of it. I tell the patient to write down what's happening in their lives, and they're amazed at what changes, mostly positive, take place at a very rapid rate. Sometimes what you have to explain to the patient is that you got ill over a period of time and you went through different stages in this illness. And a lot of times when you're correcting the problem, you're going to go back through those stages in reverse. So sometimes they'll have a symptom that they hadn't had in years and they think it's a negative, but it's really a positive.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Dr. Bernard Jensen, who was quite an authority in the healing area, he used to use another terminology. He'd say, the body retraces.
Yes.
And you're
That's
saying,
a good term. Yeah.
And you find evidence of it too in what
yes.
you're doing. Most interesting how it can appear in two separate types of therapy, actually. I find that very interesting. I've known a lot and about temporomandibular work, but I must admit that this conversation we've been having here today has enlightened me even further. So I think you have delivered an enormous amount of information that should be of benefit to the listener and benefit them for a long time in their life. And this is what we've been trying to do with this series of lectures.
I wish we had more time because there are a lot of other things I'd like to discuss, too. You know,
Go ahead. Don't let me keep talking. Go ahead, Benson.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to go over real quickly is some of the symptoms that patients may have. And having some of these symptoms don't necessitate having a problem. That's what has to be differentiated in a proper diagnosis. But if you have grating or clicking, popping or cracking sounds in your jaw when you chew, and you have sensations of stiffness or pressure or blockage, ringing or buzzing in the ears. Do you ever feel dizzy or faint for no reason?
Oh, those are all things that can clue the patient.
I mean, there's a list of that I'd like to have gone through, but it sounds like we're running out of time.
I know, but you did fine. Oh, thanks a lot. I'm glad you gave up this time from your busy practice to appear here.
My
and
pleasure.
We're at the end of the program. We have finished, and let me thank you and thank you again. It's been great.
Thank you, Ruth.
All right, we'll talk again.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.